Welcome to Interactions with Reality podcast number 8. Actually, I looked back on my podcasts and it looks like this is actually not episode 8. I think I did like 2 number 5s and maybe 2 number 6s or something like that. Anyway, regardless of what episode it is, here it is. So you're going to just have to deal with the numbers thing. Hopefully you don't have any fixations around that. So anyway, I'm out here in the shed again. It is a beautiful, sunny, windy day, and I am about to go off in the forest and collect some things for my customers. So I sell online, and I sell goods that I find when I'm hiking in the forest or whatever. In this case, I sell a lot of other things too, but whatever. Today, I'm going to talk about the stuff in the forest. So one of my products is moss, and there is a type of moss called sphagnum moss, which is quite popular, and it grows, you know, pretty prolifically. And so I'm going to go out in the woods and collect a basket of this. And how I collect is I go out there, find it. In this case, I know where it's at. It's going to be by my spring pond, and I'm going to jump in the water, wade over there. And then basically just come up, first I brush it off with my hands, get all the debris off, and then I come up under it with my hands and like lift it off in chunks. And I set those chunks onto an 8x10 piece of paper until I can't see the paper. And that's the order. That's how much they ordered. In this case, I'm going to throw in a little more because I have a customer that is a repeat customer and has been pretty cool all around. So they're going to be building a terrarium with dart frogs, which is super cool. And so I may also go around and see if I can't find a couple ferns for them or a couple, you know, just something that looks cool. I'll probably try to find a couple extras so they can throw them in their terrarium. I like to keep my customers happy. And I don't mind going the extra mile to do that. And I'm really, when it comes down to it, I'm making maybe $8 on this order, but I'm not going to be spending a lot of time, 15 minutes maybe, collecting. So when I break it down like that, although I'm not making a lot dollar wise, you know, if I was going to do a price per hour, I'm making, you know, $8, $10 in like, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that. So not too bad. Even if it was half an hour, that's still, I mean, we're out in the country. We're, you know, it's not like we're doing, I mean, we've got a lot else going on, actually. We got quite a bit going on, but I got the time. And if I was going to go and work somewhere around here, it would be hard to find a place that was hiring for more than $15 an hour for, you know, general labor, that sort of thing. In Florida or other states, I'm able to charge more for my services, but out here, there's a lot of country boys, and a lot of country boys do a lot of, you know, manual labor type stuff, and so you can't quite charge as much when you're out in the country as opposed to the city. So if I was to do some garden things in the city itself, which would be like an hour drive, realistically, to one where I could, you know, charge the right prices, you know, maybe I can make like 25 to 50 an hour doing what I do normally. So, but anyway, all that aside, so I keep that in mind when I'm running my online business. Hey, am I making more per hour doing this than I would per hour doing something else? And sometimes I end up working extra, particularly in the beginning of, you know, if I pick a new product and I'm not 100% sure how to package it, or I'm not, you know, the first couple of times it takes more time to get it down. And then you kind of hone the process in, and you get better and better with your packing and better with other stuff, and it starts to flow a lot more. I've got, for instance, taping the boxes. I used to just randomly tape the boxes, and I would trying to figure out the best way to tape the boxes. I finally got it down to where I put 3 strips along. This is a medium flat rate box, and it's like kind of like a rectangle shape. 3 that go across the bottom, and then there's 1 that goes perpendicular to those all the way across all three and pins them all in place. And then I do one that kind of like ties in the ends of those three strips on either side. So it's basically circles the whole box. And then got one that circles the whole box in the middle. It's kind of like a rib, just so it can't bend out of shape too much. I mean, it's still going to be able to some, it's still going to bulge, but it's not like something that'll be too ridiculous. So it puts a limit on the amount of bulge like a belt would around your waist. So, well, maybe that's a bad analogy because that bulge might be there either way. Just imagine how you squish it. But anyway, so I do this before I fill the box, though. So it'd be like putting a belt on before you got fat. Anyway, and then I do one more around the top. And then when I finish, I do the three strips across and then one all the way around the top section. And that's that. And I've never had a box break open. And I send like 20, 30 pounds of weight on a regular basis this way. I send probably 4 boxes that weigh 25 pounds plus every single week, and that's clay. I pack in the clay and stuff like that, and yeah, so that works out pretty good. And I also use like different taping method if the item is not going to be a weighty item, because obviously you don't need that much tape if your item weighs less than 5 pounds, for example. It's unnecessary. So I'm still honing those processes. But shipping is one of the big deals, where that's what I let prohibit me from selling for the longest time. I really should have gotten to selling a really long time ago, but I was all just like, well, I don't know how to pack it. I don't know how to send it. Wow, postage is $8 for a box or $15 for a box. I frequently leave the post office having spent $50 or more on postage. And before, that was unthinkable, but I factor it into my prices, or I charge it directly, and it goes away. It's really not that big a deal. It's really not what I made it out to be in my head when I was talking myself out of selling online. So I do have other items, though, that I don't know how to ship yet. I do plan on learning more and all that sort of thing, but I'm kind of waiting until I get my new office space, which is going to be the trailer that we're living in now. I'm going to be in there and have like dry places to put my boxes. Wow. Dry places to put my materials. Places to put my seeds and other things where my toddler cannot get into them and wreck them. He destroys stuff all the time. And, you know, it's going to make things so much nicer. I'm going to be able to set up a studio for taking pictures of items. I'm going to be able to set up a computer space where I can actually have a laptop that's, you know, dedicated to that space, where it's just a printer and the whole nine yards, everything all hooked up, you know, places for all the wires that I need for all the cameras and all this and that and the other. It's going to be a huge game changer. It's going to really help me out a lot. And, really looking forward to using that space rather than the one I'm in now, which is basically a partially built building with a leaky roof and no door. And wind goes in there all the time. Dirt goes in there all the time. Occasionally, my toddler goes in there and just wrecks stuff. And I pretty much, like, it's very difficult to keep. I have a refrigerator that's dedicated to my supplies, and honestly, that's the best organization I have so far right now. It's really not that great. It gets the job done for now, but it's not where I want it to stay. You know, I want things to be better long term. And so setting up this space is really going to help me a lot with production and a lot with getting more products out to the customers. And so I'm going to expand my shop, and I'm going to include other people, and the other people are going to, some of them are planning on making products and some of them are planning on selling products, and I'll be like a drop shipper, and basically they'll pay me X amount for whatever it is, and I send that out for them on their behalf, and they get a cut of the actual profit. And I get a cut of the actual profit. My cut's going to be probably smaller, but whatever. You know, if I can move more product and I can do it efficiently, it doesn't really matter if I'm making less per product, because it all adds up. And either way, my stuff's moving. And if stuff's moving, you can always increase the speed. But if stuff's not moving in the first place, that's a rough place to be. That's a really rough place to be in business. You know, they say making your first dollar is the hardest. It's the hardest dollar to make. It's the, you know, make $1 and then, you know, then buy all these programs and all this stuff. But if you can't make a dollar in the first place, you know, nothing else is really going to help you. You know what I mean? It's just like, you gotta figure out how to get money from point A to point B. And point A is your customer's pocket, point B is your pocket. And there's a couple pockets in between that, in that equation. So, yeah, and the more pockets that you cut out in between, the better. For instance, you can cut out postage by selling digital products, which is something I'd like to branch out into, because, I mean, how easy is that to just be able to email a product to a customer rather than having to actually physically send it? A little grape juice. what a beautiful day. All right, so... So yeah, so I'm going off into the forest to find this for this customer and everything. And I also need to go into the forest and collect leaves, because I sell leaves online. And I have customers that are going to want some fairly soon, probably. And I want to go ahead and get the four or five boxes that they want ready and packaged and ready to go. And the reason I like to package my leaves and stuff early is because then I can put them in the dash of my car. And if I put them in the dash of the car, it heats up and it gets past 100 and something. I can't remember how many degrees. But it gets so hot that any bugs that live in this leaf litter, like, let's say if you have ticks, if you have mites, if you have what are those, red bugs, and, you know, whatever it is, centipedes, whatever it is that's in your leaf litter or in your mulch or whatever it is that I happen to be sending out today, that those all die. And customers like it when they don't have ants in their mulch or whatever. They like it when they arrive with zero pests inside. So I go ahead and I just throw them in the dash of my car, leave them there for a couple days, a week, a month, whatever, it doesn't matter. And then I send those out to my customer and they're happy. And so I'm working on producing, I'm going to actually probably be building an area that will simulate the dash of a car as far as the heat. So basically a glass window that will go into a space where there's no place for the heat to escape. So the heat goes in, heat doesn't come out, and maybe the walls of the structure are painted black or something like that. I don't know. But it's probably going to be like four by four posts, like, embedded in the ground with maybe a couple 2x4s connecting them or something, and then maybe black plastic around the 2x4s, and then like a sheet of glass or a sheet of clear plastic on the top as the roof. And that'll be my hot box, and I'll basically be able to sanitize larger quantities of leaf litter, larger quantities of mulch, and I'll be able to move a lot more of it efficiently, which will end up cutting down on my time involved and upping my profits. So excuse me. So once my products are created and moving, I like to find ways to streamline. For example, I want to streamline my clay. And one of the ways I'm thinking about doing that is I'm hiring this bulldozer to come out anyway. And I'm thinking about having him go all the way down to my clay pit and just kind of clear off all the other soil, just put it in a pile somewhere else, And that way I can have just clay exposed in a very large surface area where I can pick, because occasionally customers will ask for certain traits, a little more of the clay sand mix, or a little more just clay, or a little more this, a little more that. Customers want a lot of different things. So one thing this will allow me to do is to produce a variety that I can market as different listings. The other thing it'll allow me to do is mass produce, and also, like, for instance, people want clay for beauty and stuff like that. So one of the ways you can do that is you put the clay into a water solution, a bucket, a jug, or whatever, and you shake it up or swirl it up or stir it up or whatever until the clay separates out into the water. And the clay particles or whatever are really, really tiny. And the sand and other debris is either really light or really heavy. So you might have, like, leaves and stuff float to the surface or sink to the bottom. So basically, you make this clay mixture, you pour it through a screen, it gets out all the debris. The solids settle to the bottom of the container, so when you pour it, they're not coming with. And then you have, like, a pure clay, and you just let it sit, and it sits and it all settles down eventually, because it is heavier. It will eventually settle down. And then once it's settled down, you pour it off, and you're left with, like, a pure clay, chunk that you can sell by the ounce for beauty or for whatever it is, cosmetics, or anything you would want to use clay for, really. But something that fine would probably be a lot more in the direction of cosmetics. So I plan to do that. I plan to have stations where I can do that in mass, where I can actually produce a large quantity in a very short amount of time, and have, like, 50 ounces produced all in a day, versus 1 or 2 ounces at a time. Because if I'm trying to sell and I'm only selling, like, a little bit at a time, or if I'm only making a little bit at a time, that's very labor intensive for the return. It really decreases my profits when I look at it for the like in the by the hour way. So I'm gonna probably be cutting apart some 55-gallon drums or something like that, or we're getting some kiddie pools or getting some other things like that as settling tanks. I haven't designed it yet. I plan to. But that's been my business so far. I try to sell anything, really. I go out in the woods and find a cool stick and I sell it, kind of thing. Anything that's moving, once it starts moving and I know that there's a market for it, I'm like, okay, well, now how do I get this bigger? How do I and it might be, if it's not moving, maybe I gotta find a niche where that thing is important. And so then I go looking for a niche market, which is internet research. Might be looking at forums or different things, or asking people in different fields, like people that deal with insects. Well, what is it that you're looking for these insects? Like, how are you looking to care for these insects? Like, what do you need? And a lot of times when you ask your customers and you seek out the information, you can find your way into some niche markets where you always have sales, and recurring sales at that, which is really, really good. But yeah, so basically I just find an item. Once I find it, I find out how to streamline, and I also find out how to better market it to the niche that it's best suited in. And soon I'm going to be expanding to multiple niche markets. So, for instance, clay might be really, really popular among people who deal in aquatic plants. So that's a niche market. But it might also be very popular in the beauty industry, which is another niche market. So I want to be able to have multiple shops that cater to various niches. So I'll have some niches that will, basically, the same product more or less across the span of 15 different shops or something like that, each catering to a very particular niche. And then I can go through in the morning and check my 10, 15 shops and, see how much I make from all that. And hopefully, I mean, this isn't so much about the money as being able to do what I love to do and be able to work the land and also to be able to provide for my family. That's the main goals. Secondary goals are maybe better left for another time. All right, well, that's been about 20 minutes, so it's good enough for a podcast. Kind of rambled a lot today. I'm still kind of waking up a little bit. We had a late night last night, so yeah. Anyway, have a great day and do something that you've never done today. How about that? But not necessarily, or not in a bad way, like I'm not saying if you haven't gone out and punched somebody in the face, you should do that today. Like, do something positive, something that's going to benefit humanity. Maybe like a random act of kindness, or maybe it's going out and picking up litter if you've never done that before. I don't know. But just do something that's out of your normal routine, and have fun with that. Live life.